वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayana, and to Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, and to Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Purport. All the Vedic literatures and the Puranas are meant for conquering the darkest region of material existence. The living being is in the state of forgetfulness of his relation with God due to his being overly attracted to material sense gratification from time immemorial. His struggle for existence in the material world is perpetual, and it is not possible for him to get out of it by making plans. If he at all wants to conquer this perpetual struggle for existence, he must re-establish his eternal relation with God. And one who wants to adopt such remedial measures must take shelter of literatures such as the Vedas and the Puranas. Foolish people say that the Puranas have no connection with the Vedas. However, the Puranas are supplementary explanations of the Vedas intended for different types of men. All men are not equal. There are men who are conducted by the mode of goodness, others who are under the mode of passion, and others who are under the mode of ignorance. The Puranas are so divided that any class of men can take advantage of them and gradually regain their lost position and get out of the hard struggle for existence. Srila Suta Goswami shows the way of chanting the Puranas. This may be followed by persons who aspire to be preachers of the Vedic literatures and the Puranas. Srimad Bhagavatam is a spotless Puran, and it is especially meant for them who desire to get out of material entanglement permanently. Om Ajnanati Mirandhara Shri Advaita Vedadhara श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे बिफोर रिसाइटिंग द श्रीमद् भागवतम विच इज द वेरी मीन्स ऑफ कॉन्क्वेस्ट वन शुड ऑफर रेस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस अंडर द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड नारायण एंड टू नरनारायण ऋषि the supermost human being, and to Mother Saraswati, the goddess of fortune, goddess of learning, and to Srila Vyasadeva, the author. So one verse before this we read, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, that is Shukadeva Goswami, the spiritual master of all sages, the son of Vyasadeva, who out of his great compassion for those gross materialists who struggle to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, for them he spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge after having personally assimilated it by experience. And before that, Srila Suta Goswami is offering respects to again Shukadeva Goswami, who has entered the hearts of all by taking the renounced order and speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in these three verses, We find how Suta Goswami is expressing his gratitude to his spiritual master, as well as the other great personalities like Lord Narayana himself, Naranarayan Rishi, and to Mother Saraswati and Srila Vyasadev, the author of all the Vedic literatures. So Vedic life is a life of gratitude for the superiors and great personalities who are instrumental in awakening the dormant Krishna consciousness in the heart of the living beings. Like, you know, we used to recite one verse for Mother Saraswati. Here it Saraswati is said, Saraswati namastubhyam marve kamarupini vidyarambam karishyami siddhir bhavati me sada. So this is a verse which children recite when they join the school. So vidyarambam karishyami means I am beginning my education. So you please bless me. Because one who is blessed with Saraswati on the tongue can say something wise for the welfare of all the people of the world. So that is a prayer for Mother Saraswati. In the same way, here he is also praying to Narayana, Lord Narayana himself. He is praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seeking his blessings. And also he is offering prayer to Naranarayan Rishi also, because Naranarayan Rishi is the epitome of detachment. Anyone who wants to approach the path of spiritual life, they should be ready to give up delighting in material enjoyment. In fact, that is a test of advancement in Krishna consciousness. Whether Maya has released a person from her clutches of illusory enjoyment, or still a person is entangled. This entanglement may not be externally perceived by everyone, but we know heart of hearts. How much is our mind and subsequently our jnanendriyas or our senses, how are they hooked to the illusory opportunities awarded by Maya? So if one's mind is hooked to the thoughts of Maya, then that means one is actually still absorbed in material delights, delighting in material enjoyment. Such a person actually cannot make proper advancement in the spiritual path. So one has to be freed from the clutches of Maya. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita how Maya, when she sees that one is completely interested in engaging in Krishna's service, then she gives liberation from the material illusory enjoyment for that particular soul. She understands, okay, this person wants to serve Krishna, so she relieves him. Okay, now so long, for so many millions of years you have been serving me, now I give you resignation now. You can submit resignation and you can go, no problem. Sometimes a person submits a resignation in a company, and the company says, no, you have been serving so nicely, even if you want to go for yatra, no problem. Go for yatra, you can come back in January and join us. Instead of 20 days, we'll give you 20 more days rest also. No problem, still you come back. We will not give you a resignation. Similarly, Maya also sometimes may temporarily relieve a person and then want him back again. But if Maya is convinced that this person really doesn't want enjoyments in this world, he wants to go back home, back to Godhead, then she gives him relief completely. So the test of advancement in Krishna consciousness is detachment from material enjoyment. That is the test of advancement. Not just external show. Externally we may wear a saffron cloth or live in the ashram as brahmacharis. That is an external exhibition of renunciation. What we are talking of is not just that. It's an internal state of consciousness. One should be truly detached from the objects of enjoyment of this world if one is truly focused on Krishna. When one is determined to achieve Krishna's lotus feet, then Maya will relieve him. But for all those people who are in the pursuit of spiritual life, who want to attain liberation, they will see that always there is a great danger. The danger is the allurements offered by Maya. Like you hear about Vishwamitra, how he was attacked by, allured by Menaka, or how even Haridas Thakur was tested by the prostitute. And throughout the scriptures you will read many, many examples how the sages and saints were allured by wealth, by the posts offered by the kings, and by name and fame, and because of their poetry that they have written, or some words of wisdom they have written, name and fame, or in the form of woman, wealth, all these things. So anybody in the path of spiritual life will have to face those things and remain detached. So he is also offering prayer to Naranarayan Rishi, who is very famous for his renunciation. It is said that this Naranarayan Rishi, when they were performing severe penances in Badrikashram in the Himalayas, it is said they are the first class examples of detachment. The kind of detachment they exhibited is unparalleled. So Lord Narayana and Naranarayan or Krishna Arjun, same, there is no difference. They are the same personalities. Krishna and Arjun, they come as Naranarayan Rishi. So the kind of detachment they exhibited was very severe. No ordinary human being can imitate that. There is a story of how there was one Dambodbhava, one Rakshasa, who was looking for a rival, and nobody in the world could equal him. So Narada saw and told him, the best people who can equal you in war is the Naranarayan Rishi. Better you go to Badrikashram. So Dambodbhava, he went to Badrikashram with all his weapons. So Naranarayan Rishi were not interested in fighting with him. They said, just look at this atmosphere in this place. The birds are chirping, the rivers are flowing, and it is such a mode of goodness place. This is meant for severe penances. Just throw away your weapons and sit with us and perform penance. But Dambodbhava said, I have not come for this. I have come to fight with you. And they tried to, you know, pacify him, but he was not ready to hear. So they just plucked some grass from the ground and invested it with their Brahma Tejas, the potency. And they just threw it on him like this. So although the grass is generally tender and soft, as soon as they invested it with mantras, it became as sharp as a needle. All of them became straight like needles. And they went and started attacking him in different parts of the body. And Dambodbhava had to flee for his life from there. So this is Naranarayan Rishi. So they are very, very exalted sages. In another occasion, Indra saw the penance of Naranarayan Rishi and became afraid. So he sent Madan and Rati along with their associates to go and create a kind of illusion by which Naranarayan Rishi will be allured to fall prey to lust. So when Madan and Rati, they went to create a very wonderful atmosphere in the forest to attract the heart of Naranarayan Rishi. Naranarayan Rishi understood what is going on. His Lord himself, he understood. So from his own thighs he started creating hundreds of beautiful girls, like Apsaras. So seeing that even Madan, he threw his bow down. You know, he has a Makaradvaja, no? He has a bow, sugarcane bow. And he has a flower arrow with which he attacks the hearts of all the conditioned souls. When he saw that, he became so stunned, it fell off his hands. And he fainted literally on the spot. So he was watching how Narayan Rishi is releasing such beauties unseen ever before. And after he got up, then the Lord told him, don't be afraid. He was very afraid. Lord told him, no, don't be afraid. I know what Indra has done. He has sent you to attract me. Now you take one of these beauties with you, one of these beautiful girls with you, and offer it to Indra as a donation from my side. He said, and he sent him. of course, Madan chose Urvashi, and took Urvashi to heaven. As soon as Indra saw Madan coming back defeated, he became very, very afraid. What is going to be the next step? He thought he is going to be punished. Then Madan told the whole story. What happened? The Lord has forgiven you. Not only that, he has given this Urvashi also. Then Indra became very happy. So Narayana and Rishi, they are very ideal example of detachment. So here he is offering obeisances to Narayana and Rishi and to Saraswati, goddess of learning, and also to Lord himself, because Lord is the source of everything. And Lord actually says in the scriptures, Dadami buddhi yogam tam, yena mam upayantite. I can give you the buddhi by which you will come back to me. And Lord also says, Sarvasya chaham hridisanni vishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. He says, Mattaha smritir jnanam apohanam cha. From me comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. So if Lord wants to give forgetfulness, he can give forgetfulness. At the right moment, when we need it the most, he can give forgetfulness. Or if he wants to give remembrance, he can give remembrance. Because everything is in his hands. So one should always remember the Lord before doing anything. Like when Krishna told Arjuna, Arjuna was asking Krishna once in the first canto we read, Krishna, this Ashwatthama has sent this Brahmastra, which is actually deadly, dangerous for the whole universe. Because sometimes the Brahmastra can destroy a whole universe. It is so powerful, if it is not utilized for some certain purpose. And Ashwatthama, because he was a fool, he didn't worry about the welfare of the living beings. He just wanted to save his own life. He sent a Brahmastra in the sky. So Arjuna asked Krishna, what should be done? Should this Brahmastra be nullified by another Brahmastra? Should it be cancelled? So Krishna said, yes, you should do that. Now you send another Brahmastra. Krishna ordered Arjuna to do. So, in those series of verses you will find, Arjuna does not directly talk to Krishna about, you know, whether I should send a Brahmastra. First you will see some verses of glorification. Arjuna is glorifying Krishna's supremacy, Krishna's greatness. And then he is inquiring from Krishna, what should I do? And then after Krishna said that yes, you sent the Brahmastra, then Arjuna circumambulates Krishna 3 times. And then he offers obeisances. And then he sends the Brahmastra. You will read that in the section of Ashwatthama. So this goes to show that the rituals should not be minimized in the execution of our duties. Sometimes, in the name of having very little time to perform our duties, we may minimize the rituals. Like for example, you are taking prasad. Sometimes people skip the Mahaprasade Govinde. Sometimes in the morning people put tilak. They put only tilak here. And all over the body they don't put, because time is not there. They just put the kurta and they come immediately. Isn't it? So, of course, you know, once a devotee was telling, when we put tilak here, this is like advertisement department. So you have to put a very nice tilak here. And then other places, you know, do like this and then come. Isn't it? So, you may minimize the rituals. Offering prayers. Sometimes we think, oh, all this is formality. What is the need of all formality? No, this is not formality. If it is just a formality, why acharyas have kept it? It is not a formality. Every ritual is meant for elevating our consciousness, purifying our consciousness. And they should not be taken cheaply. Like in the beginning, we have to offer the prayers, Om Ajnana Timirandase. Every day we offer the same prayers. So somebody may just speed up and wind up. We may think that, you know, it's not essential. So I may, like once, Ramapa Swami was telling in one lecture, I heard. He said he went to one temple, some devotee followed on said, Vanchakalp Maharaj, and he was telling. So Maharaj said, just see Kali Yuga. So you are supposed to bow down and say Vanchakalpa Tirubhyasya prayer. Because offering obeisances is not a formality. This kind of ritual should not be minimized. So Arjuna himself is showing that example. How? See, why I am taking that particular example? Because it is an hour of great crisis. Yeah. Because already Brahmastra is in the sky, and if you don't nullify it, by the time you bow down, it may come down. Isn't it? But even at that hour, he doesn't give up the rituals. You can see that. And we are not in a greater hurry than what Arjuna was at that time. That is why here also we find Suta Goswami, instead of beginning to speak Bhagavatam directly, he is offering obeisance to all these great personalities and seeking their blessings and expressing his gratitude to them. And also to Sri Veda Vyas, who is the author, who actually gave the Srimad Bhagavatam to his son, Shukadeva Goswami, from whom Suta Goswami heard. So he is also thanking Veda Vyas for writing all the Vedic literatures. So that is why I was telling that the Vedic life is a life of gratitude. And the modern life is a life that teaches how to be, how one should be independent of the superiors. Like nowadays in Pune, in the colleges, many students, they wouldn't go to colleges. They have this Ekalavya notes. You know Ekalavya notes? Like Ekalavya never went to Dronacharya, isn't it? He stayed at home and, you know, he himself practiced. So they have these Ekalavya notes now. So you don't have to go to college. You can have your own notes and you can pass the examination. So they don't need the teacher. Neither do they need the teacher, nor do they need his blessings. So people, you can stand on your own leg. Be independent. That's what the modern man is taught. So there is no respect for the elders also, mother, father, teachers, sages, brahmanas. These people are not respected in the modern times. Prabhupada says, sometimes if a young boy wants to smoke, and there is a elderly man in the neighborhood, then the young boy won't smoke. He will go somewhere to the side and he will smoke. And even for that he will take permission. But now you see young boy smoking on the face of old people. They just don't care. Because there is no respect. This Prabhupada explains in the Ajamil section, that the young people certainly had respect for the elders and the respect is going off today. That is the modern way of life. So modern man is bereft of blessings. He is not blessed by superiors. That's why Kali Yuga, everyone is suffering. There is no water supply. There is no fresh air. There is no fresh water. There is no good food. There is food scarcity. All this is because modern man is bereft of blessings. And he is trying to make a godless society which will flourish. And this is never to happen. In Vedic life, people would seek blessings before beginning any auspicious work. Like here, he is going to begin the most auspicious work of speaking the Srimad Bhagavat Katha. And he is seeking the blessings of all great personalities. That means he understands that I am just an instrument in the hands of great personalities. And by their blessings, this instrument will function very wonderfully. It'll be, you know, I'll be able to do some benefit to the world. And this keeps one humble. And when one is humble, then one becomes a proper receptacle of the mercy of the acharyas and superiors. And then one is able to offer something beneficial to the world. Otherwise, when one becomes proud, when one thinks, I don't need anybody, and I can stand on my own legs, such a proud person cannot offer anything valuable. So we have to learn from the author, Suta Goswami, who speaks Bhagavatam to the Shaunakadi Rishis. And here, he is talking about the Puranas. Prabhupada writes, the living being is in a state of forgetfulness of his relation with God due to his being overly attracted to material sense gratification from time immemorial. His struggle for existence in the material world is perpetual and it is not possible for him to get out of it by making plans. If he at all wants to conquer this perpetual struggle for existence, he must re-establish his eternal relation with God. So this comes in a conversation between Sanatana Goswami and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is a conversation. In that conversation, Sanatana is going and asking Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my dear Lord, I have been a minister of Bengal and people call me a very learned Pandita, but I am a great fool. I am such a fool that I am thinking I am a great Pandit because people are calling me. So why am I suffering these threefold miseries? Ke ami kene ama yare tapatrai. Yaha nahi jani shudra kene nai. He said. So Lord Chaitanya in reply, in the course of his talk, he was telling how the living being actually is an eternal servant of Krishna. But once he comes under the clutches of Maya, then he goes into a state of delirium. And he cannot remember this fact that he is servant of Krishna. So he told this famous verse, Kabu swarge uthaya, kabu narake dubai, dandya jane raja yena nadi te chubai. He says, Kabu swarge uthaya means elevate. So sometimes the living entity is elevated to heaven, where he enjoys for some time. Kabu narake dubai means, sometimes he is submerged in suffering in the hellish planets. Dande jane raja yena nadite chubai. Just like a king sometimes would put a thief upside down and dip him in water. And then he suffocates, he will release him. Sometimes he would dip him. So that suffocation is compared to Naraka Lokas. And freeing him is compared to going to the Swarga Lokas. In this way he said, because the living being is wandering like this, in the clutches of Maya, he cannot remember this fact that he is servant of Krishna. So there he talks about this Puranas and Vedas, why Krishna has given very mercifully. You all can repeat this verse. Maya mukta jivar nahi swatah Krishna gyan jivar kripaya kaila Krishna Veda Puran. So he said, Maya mukta jivar nahi swatah Krishna gyan. Such a soul who is absorbed in Maya's clutches, suffering and enjoying and suffering and enjoying, he is almost crazy. He just doesn't know who he is. Such a soul, Swatah Krishna Gyan, he cannot evoke Krishna consciousness by personal efforts. Not possible. He cannot do that. Nor does he know anything. What is Krishna consciousness? He doesn't know. And for them, what Krishna has done? Jivera Kripaya Kaila. Out of compassion for the Jivas, Krishna has done this Veda Puran. He has given this Veda Puran through Veda Vyas. Krishna Veda Puran. So this is Madhya 21-22. It's a very beautiful verse. So the Veda Puran are actually given by Krishna himself. In the scriptures it is said, Karma Brahmodbhavam Viddhi Brahmakshara Samudbhavam. In Bhagavad Gita it is said. That means the Brahma or the Vedic literatures, Brahma Udbhavam Viddhi. Actually, Karma Brahmodbhavam Viddhi, Brahma is actually, Brahma Akshara Samadbhavam means the original Vedic literature are all emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are breathed out by the Supreme. That is explained by in the Upanishads also. So they all are actually coming from Krishna himself. Even the Yamadutas while speaking to Yamraj, not Yamraj, Vishnudutas, they also say this. Veda Pranihito Dharma Adharma Tat Viparyayaha Vedo Narayana Sakshat Swayambhuriti Shushma. They say the same thing. Veda Narayana Sakshat. They come from Lord Narayana directly. All the Vedas. Given by the Supreme. So, Lord has actually given this Vedic literatures and the Puranas and all these things. Why? So the living entities may read them, understand them, take advantage of them and purify their hearts and get awakened as if coming out of a dream. So many millions of lifetimes we have led our lives, that's all like a dream. So when the living entity wakes up to the reality by reading these things, then he can attain his good fortune. So in that connection, Lord Chaitanya tells a story of a Sarvajna to Sanatana Goswami. He says, he explains the Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan so beautifully in that story. He says, there was one man who was very poverty stricken and who was suffering. One astrologer came to him. An astrologer told him, why are you suffering like this, my dear friend? Don't you know that your father has kept a very great quantity of treasure for you? So as soon as this man heard it, immediately he became happy. So there Lord Chaitanya explains, when the astrologer established the connection of the suffering man to the treasure, when he established the connection, immediately the man became happy. Similarly, the sambandha jnan, simply by knowing it, one can be happy. Like all of us are, so actually Lord Chaitanya is comparing Sanatana Goswami to that suffering man. He is telling you, you are coming and suffering, you are saying that you are suffering threefold miseries, you are a suffering man. Because you don't know the truth, you don't know the treasure. And what is the treasure? Krishna, or Krishna Bhakti, that is the treasure which you don't know. So as soon as the sambandha jnana is established, the relationship between the lost child and the father that is established, immediately there is happiness. But although there is happiness, neither can the knowledge alone of sambandha can keep one happy. Nor can the child attain the company of the father by his own efforts. That's not possible. So there is a need of the astrologer to give more information. So then the astrologer told him, I will tell you the secret by which you can attain the treasure. So attaining the treasure is equivalent to attaining love of God, attaining Krishna Prema. But before that, the means to achieve it is called as the Avideya. So he told him, I will tell you the method by which you can attain it. Then he gave him some do's and don'ts. He told him what you should do and what you should not do. He said, if you dig, if you go to that place and you dig it from the southern side, you will be attacked by lot of crickets. Crickets are some kind of insects and drones. You will be constantly attacked by them. So don't try to get the treasure from the southern side. And if you go to the western side, there is a ghost, Yaksha, living there. And he will haunt you. So don't go to the western side. And he said, don't go to the northern side because there is a huge black serpent there. It will swallow you. It will not let you take out the treasure. So best is to go to the eastern side. And the eastern side is so advantageous side that even dig a little bit of the sand in the top and you will find immediately your hand will touch the treasure. He said. So Lord Chaitanya explained, Bhagavan Saraswati has explained very vividly about this. He explained how digging it from the southern side is compared to the karmakanda process. In the process of karmakanda, one may do some good activity and one gets, some pious activity and one gets the heavenly planets. But then again one comes back to the Marthi Loka again. Again one goes to heaven, again one comes back. So repeated suffering one undergoes, just like the crickets and drones are biting. Sometimes you have seen there is a big honeycomb. You go to get that honey from the honeycomb, the drones attack you. Honeybees attack you. And they sting you so badly that your hand will not even reach the honeycomb. You will run away from there. There will be a big, big boil on your body. In the same way, performing this karmakanda sacrifices, although it offers some kind of happiness, but that happiness is insignificant because the desire for material enjoyment itself ensures one's perpetual suffering in birth and death, birth, old age, disease, death, repeatedly, millions and millions of lifetimes. So that is compared to the pangs offered by the crickets and drones. Birth, old age, disease, death, all are pinching a person constantly. And what can he enjoy? What is the use of going to heaven? If one has to repeatedly suffer birth and death. So he told him, don't go to the southern side. Then he said, don't go to the western side. He said, because there is a ghost, Yaksha, there. You know, sometimes you hear in the Shastras that a Yaksha is protecting some riches. And if somebody goes there to take those riches, Yaksha attacks them and kills them. Isn't it? Similarly, he said, if you go to the west, there are mental speculators whose minds are always wound up by reading so many different Vedanta and other literatures, but they have not come to any conclusion. Mental speculation means simply stretching the mind to extreme limits and not coming to any conclusion. And their mind haunts them. So don't go to the western side, he said. Such Mayavadi, impersonalist philosophers, they are on the western side. Don't go. That is compared to the Yaksha or the ghost. So the Yaksha will kill you if you go to the west. And he said, don't go to the northern side. He said, because there's a big black serpent. That's compared to the yogis. So So yogis also, not all yogis are personless, many of the yogis are impersonless. So they also want to merge into that one supreme and become one and lose the identity. Just like some frog who goes in front of the snake will be devoured and you will find only the snake there, there is no frog. Similarly, one will be swallowed by the impersonal Brahman and there one will have practically no activity. And inert in Brahman, one will be just stagnant there, having no exchange of loving rasa with the Supreme Lord. One will be in the state of shanti. So he said, don't go to the north, he said. Then he said, go to the eastern side. There, even with little digging, you will get the treasure box, he said. So that is the path of bhakti yoga, on the eastern side. So he said, वेद शास्त्र कहे संबंध अविधेय प्रयोजन कृष्ण कृष्ण भक्ति प्रेम तीन महादन. इट इज सेड थ्री थिंग्स. वेद शास्त्र कहे, वेद शास्त्र मीन्स द पुराणास एंड वेदास एंड ऑल ऑफ देम, दे आर टीचिंग थ्री प्रोमिनेंट थिंग्स. व्हाट आर दे? संबंध अविधेय प्रयोजन एंड व्हाट आर द थ्री तीन महादन? ही इज सेइंग कृष्ण कृष्ण भक्ति प्रेम. So by Sambandha Jnana, you will attain knowledge about Krishna. By Abhideya, you know, it is Krishna's service. And Prema, love of Godhead, is the Prayojana. So these three are called as Teen Mahadhan. Krishna, Krishna Bhakti, Prema, Teena Mahadhan, he says. So he concluded with that verse. He says that these three are the real wealth for any spiritual practitioner. That all the Vedas and Puranas, they are all centered around these three. Vedascha Sarvair, Ahameva Vedyo. Krishna says that. That means one has to attain Krishna. That is the Krishna. And Krishna Bhakti is also said, Bhaktya Amam Abhi Janati. Only by Bhakti you can know me, Krishna says. That is Krishna Bhakti. And also the Prema, or the love of God. Prema Pumarto Mahan, it is said, which means Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. These are four Purusharthas. And the Pancham Purusharta is the Bhakti. Which is explained in Bhagavatam. Same way, the Puranas are also called as a Panchama Veda. If you read the first canto in one place, there is one verse spoken by Sutta Goswami. You will read that there are four Vedas, but the fifth Veda is the Puranas. So here Prabhupada says that some foolish people say that the Vedas and Puranas have no relationship or they don't accept the Puranas. There is a reason why some people don't accept the Puranas. There are some Vedic reciters who accept only the Vedas to be elevated to heaven. And as Krishna says, Veda Vada Ratah Partha Na Anyat Asti Iti Vadinaha. Na Anyat Asti Iti means, besides the goal of going to heaven, don't talk about anything else. We don't believe in anything else. We just want to go to heaven and enjoy. Talk about moksha, they are not interested. Talk about spiritual world, they are not interested. We just want to go to heaven and enjoy. As Krishna says in the second chapter, Kamatmana Swargapara. What is the next line? Janma Karma Phala Pradam Kriya Vishesha Bahulam Bhogaishwarya Gatim Prati. And then he says, Bhogaishwarya prasaktana taya apakrita chetasa vyavasayatmika buddhir samadhauna vidhiyate vyavasayatmika buddhir yehe. See how the verses are linked with like a chain, isn't it? So there it ends, janma karma phalapradam kriya visheshabhulam bhogaishwarya gatim prati. Bhoga and aishwarya, because of the attraction to these things, they want to go to heaven. And then he says, bhoga and aishwarya will take away our mind. And we will not be able to achieve Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. And Vyavasayatmika Buddhi is required. Why? If one wants to attain Krishna. All are linked like a chain. So, such people, they are only bent upon going to heaven. There are another class of people who reject the Puranas, namely the impersonalists and Mayavadis. Because they think the Puranas are too fantastic to believe. They talk of many, many things. They think many strange things are said. Like, you know, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, or Krishna drank fire, or so many other, there are golden mountains explained. there are some portion of milk. So they think these are fictions. Like one fellow asked, portion of milk? Milk is so costly. So people think, how can there be a portion of milk? Especially Kali Yuga Vasis cannot believe. Because Kali Yuga milk is, cows are not so abundantly available. Cows are only found in the slaughterhouse. Cows are not used for offering milk to the human beings. So, people sometimes have difficulty accepting because they think God is also like them. God is also limited like them. Because they think they are God on one hand, on the other hand they think I am limited, so God also must be limited. They are limiting God. So, certainly Puranas talk of great truths. How can we develop faith in the Puranas? We can see that one part of the Purana, what it says is experimentable and perceivable. Like for example, Vedic, the human embryology. We were talking about it, how in the third canto, vividly it explains about, right from the first night when the semen enters into the woman's embryo, beginning from that up to the point of child coming out. All this is scientifically explained. So we can see many other sections of Bhagavata Purana, which is all true. So, after seeing that, then when one develops some credibility, then one can know that the other part also must be true. If one part is true, other part must be true. Why should we take only one part and say that we accept this part and not that part? Because these are all words of the Supreme Lord. And amongst all the Puranas, the Bhagavad Purana is actually meant for the Paramahamsas. There are Puranas for the people who are in Tamoguna, who want to cut goats or cut chicken for Durga Devi or Lord Shiva. So they follow certain type of lifestyle, swabhav. They have a certain type of swabhav. Krishna says, no, kama istaya jnana prapadyante anya devata tam tam niyama mastaya prakritya niyata svaya. So they have a certain type of prakriti. So accordingly they worship certain devatas, seeking certain benefits, and their lifestyle is totally unclean. So they are in Tamaguna. So their lifestyle is like that. So there are six Puranas for them. And there are six Puranas for those who are in Rajoguna. And six Puranas for those in Sattoguna. You can clearly see the kind of offerings given by these different people. See, in Sattoguna you are said you should offer Patram, Pushpam, Palam, Toyam. Very clean offerings. Whereas you find in Tamaguna one is offering goat and chicken. Such a contrast you can see. Everything. In Sattvaguna, the offerings are very pure. Tamaguna offerings are very impure. In Sattvaguna, the devotee is taught that don't ask anything except service to God. Or even if somebody is asking something, somebody may ask something from God for serving God only. Whereas in Tamaguna, one asks some benefit that will be very ghastly boon, like what Vrikasura asked, to destroy others, and ultimately that will lead to one's own destruction. In passion also, like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, they all worshipped their demigods in passion. So the Puranas are actually offered for different people of different qualities, the worship of different kinds of demigods. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is called as the Amalam Puranam. You know, there is a famous verse in Bhagavatam itself, 12th canto. Anybody knows how it begins? Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam, there's one verse. Radha Madhava is here. He knows the full verse. Paramahamsyam, Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. You know Rupa Goswami? How it begins? Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. Then, Yad Paramahamsyam, like that it comes. You can read that very, very beautiful verse. It says that Srimad Bhagavatam is a spotless Purana and it is very dear to the Vaishnavas, very dear to the devotees. And it is a very special Purana because simply by reading it, although it is very nectarian and sweet, one will come to see that at the end of reading it, one would have already achieved Vairagya. Viraga Sahitam, it says. One would achieve Vairagya automatically without making a special effort for achieving Vairagya, it says. So, Prabhupada says it is especially meant for those who desire to get out of the material entanglement permanently. Because other Puranas are for Rajoguna, Tamaguna, Satoguna Puranas, they actually entangle a person again and again in the material world. Whereas this Purana is actually meant for those who want to become swans and return to spiritual world to eternally serve the Supreme. So, the Puranas are so divided that any class of men can take advantage of them and gradually regain their lost position and get out of the hard struggle for existence. So somebody may ask why all these different Puranas are given, why not only Bhagavad Purana? Actually, when Veda Vyas wrote Puranas first, he wrote all the other Puranas first, other than Bhagavatam. For those in Tamaguna, Rajaguna, Satyaguna, everything. So when Narada came, and when he saw that all the people are taking Veda Vyasa's work, and the whole world is simply filled with demigod worship, all kinds of worship for material benefits, Narada was very displeased. In fact, he scolded his disciple, Veda Vyas. What have you done? You caused a great damage. Just like sometimes a book causes damage amongst the people, isn't it? Some kind of heresy. A heretic book can cause misguidance of the people, wrong guidance of the people. In the same way, Narada became very upset. He told Vedavyas, what have you done? We have given all these Puranas because of which the whole world is submerged in demigod worship. And all the people are going to different demigods and asking for different material benefits. In this way, you have simply perpetuated the material miseries in the world. Simply going to heaven, coming back again and again, or getting material benefits and struggling to enjoy. And the material things will never give happiness to anyone in this world. Actually, do you think Vyasadeva was a fool? He is not a fool, he is a very wise person. But why he has given the other Puranas? He has his reason. His reason is, if you tell people, like for example, all of you, before you became devotees, if somebody came to your college and said, you abandon all varieties of religion and surrender only to Krishna, how many of you would surrender? Isn't it? So, first of all, you ask, who is Krishna? Why should I surrender to him? Isn't it? That is why we start with, does God exist? We begin with, first of all, oh, this is a good question. Does God exist? And then gradually, we show the defects of the senses, four defects. And then one understands, hey, my senses are defective. I thought I'm a great person. And then we tell, Vedas are not all that bad. You can also refer to Vedas and see, Shabda Praman, how wonderful it is. It's valid. And then you have developed semi-faith. Yeah, Vedas seem to be good. They give something valuable. And then you learn science of soul, isn't it? Soul is developed. Then you develop faith. And then over a period of time, as you go higher and higher and higher. In fact, sometimes boys like to come to IVF because, you learn the art of speaking nicely, communicating effectively. Or you can become a leader and they see others. Or some people are coming for happiness. Yeah, these people are. Some people like prasadam. Isn't it? So there are many, many attractions, different attractions there. And then gradually one matures up and then one comes to understand. At last, ahaituki, apratihata, yatma, suprasidati. If you really want the ultimate joy, what should you do? Ahaituki. Don't have any hetu while going to Krishna. Apratihata. And don't interrupt your bhakti because there is no hetu. Don't give up bhakti. And uninterrupted way, you should continuously serve Krishna. That alone can give you happiness. We tell them later on. Same way, Vedavyas also thought that if I tell people, surrender to Krishna completely right now, abandon all that is religion and surrender to Krishna, they will run away. Nobody will come. You go to South Indian temples, if you see, as soon as you enter, on the left you will find Chandra, on the right you will find Surya, and then backside you will find so many different demigods, and you will find the Navagrahas, isn't it? People circumambulate 9 times, isn't it? So Navagrahas. Tell them, hey, Rahu, Ketu, please take care. No? Don't put me in trouble. Shani Bhagwan, don't look at me. I will circumambulate you, but you should not look at me. Look at anybody else other than me. So people do all that, They take care of all the different demigods, So people go to temple because they can get some material benefits. Shuddha Bhakti is like 24-karat gold. People are not ready to pay the price to buy it. It's difficult for many people. That is why Vedavyas thought, in the Vedic life, Vedic times, Brahmanas used to learn 3 things. In order to attract the people. One is Vaidya, medicine. Another one is astrology. This is the third one. Offering justice. Because why they would learn these three things? Because if you can offer justice, the whole world people are quarreling always. If they know that a Brahmana is available, he can give me good justice and he is pure and he is selfless, you know. So people would go to a Brahmana and say, see, he is saying like this, no, I told him like this and he is not agreeing, you know. We both had a fight, please help us. And they know that Brahmana has nothing to give and take with the world, you know, he is very detached. Because he doesn't store any money at all. So people had faith in Brahmanas, they would go to him for justice. And Brahmana would give justice but not accept any salary for that. But then after giving justice, he will tell them some words of wisdom. You know, you worship God, you learn the shloka or something like that. He will give them something spiritual and send them back, you know. Similarly, Brahmanas also knew some medicine also. Like they would go to preach and people would ask them, oh great Brahmana, I am suffering, you know, I have this problem. Now, do you have any medicine? So he would give them some medicine also. Like Prabhupada also gave many medicinal tips to his disciples. But after giving medicine, he will also tell them, the real Bhava Aushadhi is Srimad Bhagavatam. So here something about God also. Because you cannot separate this body completely. This body is a perishable body. He will tell them about God. In the same way about astrology, because everyone wants to know about future. What will happen to me? Like, you know, when I go in the train, sometimes people come and show the hand. You know, can you see my hand? I will tell them only one thing I can tell you surely. Surely you will get birth, old age, disease, death. That everyone will get in this world. Anybody who has got a material body. So, people want a Brahmana to tell their future. So, Brahmanas would learn astrology properly. They would learn how to make horoscopes, how to make matching of marriage, and how to tell a person about his future. So, they would learn that. So, the Brahmana's purpose of learning these three material talents was that using this hook, they can get people to come to God. That was the goal. In the same way, Vedavyas thought that let me give people a hook of these three types of Puranas. Tamaguna, Rajaguna, Satoguna, Puranas. Let people worship the demigods. At least they will have some impetus to come and worship somebody, you know. And they are following the Vedic literature. So the subordination to the Vedic literature will ensure that they gradually become submissive. And over a period of time, it's like, you know, giving a child a lollipop and medicine together, you know. First you give little lollipop in the mouth and it's very tasty. Oh, very nice, he opens the mouth, he puts the medicine inside, you know. And then again the medicine is bitter, he starts crying, again you give lollipop, you know. Like that. So in the same way Vedavyas was thinking. But Narthamani said, you have done a lot of damage. He said, it is high time now. He said, you have not sufficiently glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That is why, Vyasadeva, even after writing all these literatures, you are despondent. You are so morose. Even after writing all these literatures, actually Vedavyas became morose after writing all the Puranas. Then he said to himself, why am I morose? I have written all the Puranas, even Mahabharata, everything I have written. Why am I not feeling happiness? And his guru came and told them. When Narada came, actually even before guru came, he already ascertained the reason for his despondency. Because he is an incarnation, he is a literary incarnation. He understood that I have not glorified Krishna directly in these Puranas. So he already knew the answer. But when guru came, he didn't tell the guru, my dear guru, I know the problem. What's the problem? I'll sort it out. You can go back. He didn't say that. When guru came in front of him, Narada Muni, he asked the guru, what is the cause of my despondency? You please tell me. Because just as air within and the sun without, you know in and out of me, you know about your disciple. You please tell me why I am feeling despondent. And the guru tells the same thing. You have not sufficiently glorified Krishna in these Puranas. Then he told him to write the Bhagavata Puran. So that is the outcome, that is the history of Bhagavata Puran. And that Vyadavyas says that in Bhagavatam itself, you will read in the first canto. So, what is that verse? Achyuta Bhava Varjitam. How does that verse begin? Nishkarmyam Avi Achyuta. Nishkarmyam Api Achyuta Bhava Varjitam. Nashobate Jnana Malam Niranjanam. He himself says that. Achyuta Bhava Varjitam. Any Purana literature, if it is Achyuta Bhava Varjitam. Achyuta Bhava means Krishna consciousness. Achyuta means Krishna, Bhava means consciousness. Achyuta Bhava means any literature that is devoid of Krishna consciousness is Nashobhate. Even if it is a moral literature, it is useless. Because it is not having Krishna element in it. Nashobhate Jnana Malam Niranjanam, he says. So in this way, Srimad Bhagavata Puran is written by Vedavyas in his maturity of his consciousness. Like sometimes, you know, we give some classes in our neophyte stage. Like one senior devotee had given some classes. There he speaks so fast, you know, very, very fast. Later on, we put the cassette for him to hear. He was surprised. Oh, is it me speaking? I am speaking so fast. So later on, he, you know, became mature over the years. So he said, oh, don't give the cassette, erase it. No, he said, because I feel ashamed to hear my own cassette and speaking so fast. So in the same way, sometimes in our immaturity, our classes may not be very clean or pure. It may be mixed with so many impure things. So we may feel ashamed. But in our maturity, see the Paramahamsas, those who are spiritual masters, every word that comes out of their mouth is so pure. Similarly, because they have reached a certain stage of realization, they can speak like that. Similarly, Vedavyas also has reached the stage of maturity, where he has come to the conclusion of all understanding. In that maturity, he is writing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, amongst all the Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam is the crest jewel, or the king of all the Puranas. That is why it is said in Bhagavatam itself, it is said, Purananam idam tata. What that was? Nimnaganam yata ganga, Devanam achyuto yata, Vaishnavanam yata shambhu, Purananam idam tata. Amongst all Puranas, Bhagavata Purana is considered supreme. Why? Because it is pure, spotless. Why is it? What is that spotless thing? It has no taint of fruitive activity. There is no falki apeksha while executing devotional service. That is why it is spotless. Ambarish Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, you will see gopis of Vrindavan, spotless devotees. There is no anticipation from the Lord. So it is simply a literature describing about the love between Lord and the devotee. That is why we are very fortunate, because Srila Prabhupada, the spotless devotee, has written commentary to this spotless Purana. And for the benefit of the whole world, Puranarko Dunoditha, this Purana is actually like a sun in the dark age of Kali Yuga. When the sun rises, all the darkness is dispelled. Similarly, the darkness in our heart can be completely dispelled by studying the Bhagavad Puran regularly and by hearing it from the lips of pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada and by applying it in our lives. Then darkness in our heart will be dissipated and our heart will become prema bhakti yaha hoite avidya vinashya jate. Grantraat Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.